You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where we look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. It's Exeter, Newcastle and Toaster on Thursday afternoon, so two national hunt meetings and an all-weather meeting, and usual evening action on the all-weather surface. This time it's Chelmsford City on their poly track. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is jockey Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm fine, Mark. How are you getting on?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad at all. Seem to say this every time we get to a weekend at the moment, but another good weekend coming up. Part of a great time of year for National Hunt fans. And the Long Walk Hurdle this weekend, part of a real good card at Ascot.
Yeah, fantastic card. Just hope the ground holds up a bit, because we've got real good, satisfactory, proper jumping ground at the minute. Hope it stays as it is. And although he's looking quite skinny at the minute, you know what I mean, Harry? It's an interesting race because we've got some, you'd say, maybe new faces on the block. But you know what I mean, Harry, after that performance at Newbury last time, although he looked a little bit laboured, I think that was more through the fact that he didn't have enough competition or much to beat in the end. And he could only beat what was on offer. But certainly at the price he's on at the minute, you're not going to get rich backing him. But he's justifiably so.
Yeah, he's 11 to 10 at the top of the market at the moment here at William Hill. Love Rockefeller next in the market at 13-2, 7-1 Alex Della Reggia, 8-1 for Ballyoptic. Petit Zig is 8-1, 12-1 Rev de Civilla, who's a three-time winner of the race in the past. Tompa 2 is 12-1 in the market as well, 16 Zarkander and 33-1 Bar Those. Some real top quality names have won this in the past. Thistlecrack won it last year. Rev de Civilla's won it three times prior to that. Big Bucks was a three-time winner of the race. Punchers, Towns, Barracuda all won this race in the past. Is, you know what I mean, Harry, up to that kind of level? Because obviously the World Hurdle is going to be his end goal this season.
Yeah, I think so. I just think that the better the contest, the better it brings out in the horse. The better performance, you know, it just keeps him on his A game and keeps him on his mettle. I mean, I think the betting reflects what sort of competition he's got on Saturday. I mean, the next up is Little Rockefeller, 13-2. I mean, I think Ballyoptic is a great price at sort of 7s and 15-2.
8-1, in fact.
Yeah, he's a horse I really like. But, I mean, as far as when I mentioned that the price on the favourite is skimpy, I think it reflects that he's head and shoulders above these, to be honest, if the same horse turns up. Because, you know, Little Rockefeller has been great for the yard, and he has turned up at a few big gigs now, but the improvement in that little horse has been amazing. But, you know, could you really see him winning a Long Walk Hurdle? You know, it's very difficult, like I say, I think the price sort of reflects the sort of shape that the race has taken now, and they've all got to go there on the day and try and beat this hot pot. But it's, for me, it'd be a big ask.
Okay, anything else on your mind, Paddy, before we get stuck into Thursday's action?
We've just got a few emails in the other studio about Catrick yesterday about the weight cloth issue. A lot of people were struggling, and there's a few angles to go in at, really, because it's difficult because everybody loses out, you know what I mean? Apart from the person, the trainer and the connections who finished second in the race, you know, everybody loses out, so it does lose a bit of a sour taste. But for me, I think there should be some sort of a rule when it comes down to fine margins like that as regards losing weight. I think if a horse wins, if they had a rule where a horse is actually won by a certain distance, whereas the fact that the weight the amount of weight lost wouldn't make a difference to the end result, whereas that horse yesterday only ended up winning by half a length and he's lost £2 out of his lead bag. So for me, I think they've made the right decision and they've chucked the horse out. But I do think a rule, if you had, you know, a horse win by, say, 5 lengths or more, and if he's only lost £1 or the jockey's weighed in £1 or £2 light, I don't think it should have any bearing on the result, because, you know, it's for me, it wouldn't have affected it.
Yeah.
But we did have a good few emails. People were sort of, they were coming in at it from all angles, and it's raised quite a bit of debate.
Yeah, I suppose it would. Yeah, I mean, the tricky thing with that is that's then still open to somebody's opinion, isn't it?
Of course.
So they could say, well, he's won by 5 lengths, he probably would have won with that extra pound, but it's still somebody's opinion rather than black and white rules.
I mean, I think if you're dealing with a 700 kilo animal and then we're talking about £1 and £2, it's, you know, it's very fine. It's a lot tighter margins in a flat race, but certainly in a jump race, I do think if you had a certain winning distance, it would just make it a bit clearer. And but like you say, it's all about opinion. And I think on the day, if people have lost out through their punting wise, it's obviously that can have an influence on their opinion also. You know?
Yeah, it's thankfully it's quite a rare occurrence, isn't it? We don't see it all too often. So
I've never come across that incident happening ever. Mm.
All right, well, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Thursday then. Paddy's got four races prepared for us, a couple on the all-weather and a couple over the obstacles, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we start in the 1 o'clock at Exeter. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over the extended 2.25 miles. We've got a field of 12 of them set to go to post for this one, Paddy. And you could make a case for a few in here. So who do you like in the 1 o'clock?
Yeah, I mean, I like to follow stables in form because I think, you know, through the winter, stables, they can't keep going rock solid the whole way through. So they're going to have sort of peaks and troughs. But one stable is Tom George, who's certainly going well. And I think Rocklander, he's a horse who he's in the form of his life at the minute. And his mark has crept up to 1.27, but deservedly so. And I mean, this ex-Irish horse, he's actually got a fair bit of experience now. And he goes for his hat trick. Ground and trip won't be a problem at all. And actually carried, he's got top weight tomorrow, but he carried top weight to victory last time also and was very, very convincing. Like I say, I've just been impressed with the run that both Adrian Heskin and Tom George have been on. And although he's got to come forward again tomorrow because there's plenty of runners here and there's plenty of competition, and it's certainly his stiffest test to date. The fact that he's shown that he can carry weight, he's pretty good on his feet, and he arrives here in real, real good form. And I think he's got a cracking chance of reeling up the hat trick.
Okay, so hat-trick beckons then for Rocklander, in Paddy's opinion, in the 1 o'clock at Exeter. The next race we look at is the 1.20 at Newcastle. This is a Class 4 handicap, 7 furlongs. The trip for this one, 13 of them to go to post here. Paddy, who do you like on the taffeta there?
There was a couple I liked. I think on his day, the horse at the top is a fair horse, Al Khan. I've been impressed with Lewis Edmonds also, so he's going to take a very, very handy 7 off. But I liked Keith Dalglish's horse, War Department. Joe Fanning's booked. This horse has got a similar profile, but you know, his mark has crept up to 82 now. But the one thing he has done, he's shown a real liking for Newcastle. He's been here, I think, on 4 or 5 occasions, and he's won and been placed, I think, on 3 or 4 of them. So he certainly does enjoy the surface. And for me, the 7-furlong trip is ideal. He's very well drawn. I think he's 7 or 8. Which on the straight track is perfect. You want to be sort of middle-ish, for me anyway. The same comment applies to him that I gave to Rocklander. His form, he needs to produce and come forward again, but he is only 3, so that's possible. And this Galden with the visor on, I think he's got a cracking chance here with the ever-reliable Joe Fanning bookmark.
Okay, War Department then for Paddy in the 1.20 at Newcastle. The 1.40 at Toaster next. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over 3 miles, or just over 3 miles. You've got 9 of them in the lineup for this one. I suppose logical starting point will be Jan Mayer, Paddy, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick.
Yeah, it just seems to have totally got his act together this year, this horse, because, I mean, last year, to be honest, he looked, and even earlier this year, looked devoid of ability. Now things have certainly clicked. They put the visor and the tongue strap on him on his last appearance at Toaster. It didn't do the trick, so they took everything off, ran a bit better at Worcester the next day, and then he went back to back at Uttoxeter and Warwick. Now, connections, they have actually put the tongue tie back on tomorrow, which I don't know, I found strange considering he'd won in sort of reasonably soft conditions round a couple of tests and tracks, especially at Warwick. He did make hard work of it at Warwick, and you know, didn't look the winner at certain parts of the race, but in the end was well on top. But his jockey had to earn his feet that day. But he just looks for me, although he's six, he looks a little bit of a slow burner, and he's crept up to 96 now. But I say he's in the form of his life, this horse, but you know, he's going to have to improve again. But I think that's very, very capable. He just looks to figure this job out now. And I was impressed with Rob Walford's horse, Umberto Dulavate, the last day. But that was at his beloved Exeter, I'm pretty sure. He loves it down there. Whether he's as effective here, I don't know. But he's a bold jumper, a good, strong traveller. He's a proper old jumping type. And I do like the horse, but I think he's got his fair share of weight tomorrow. And I think it's a big ass. So I was keener to have the Twiston Davis horse, who's got a lovely racing weight there, of 10 stone one with Jamie Bargery's three off.
Yeah, Jan Mayer then. For Paddy in the 140 at Toaster, we finish off in the 625 at Chelmsford City, a class 4 handicap to finish here over 6 furlongs. We've got a field of 10 to go to post in this one. Who do you think comes home in front of that?
This is a horse I actually put up on a podcast when he ran last time of Richard Hannes, called Alcor. It was a real good performance because he did have to improve, but on paper he looked the type like a likely improver. Now he bumped into Salvatore Fury that day, who he's been called a few names in the past, but he does know how to win, but he needs his head dropped on the line. And that day he ran his usual race, Salvatore Fury. You know, people would have said, oh, we'll put him in the notebook because he looked unlucky, but he's done that plenty of times, and I think Alcor was probably value for a little bit more than what the winning margin was. Now, he was taken out. He was due to run somewhere the other day, and he was a non-runner. But obviously, everything's okay here. Like I've mentioned, he is nicely drawn in two. Handicapper put him up to 82 after that last performance at Lingfield. But if he acts around Chelmsford, it's a slightly rougher surface round there. But like I say, he's only up £3. And he just looked like a horse to me who was low mileage, and he was still on the improve and was capable of going in again here for the Hannon team.
Okay, signing with the lightly raced 3-year-old Alcor then in the 6:25 at Chelmsford City. Good stuff, Paddy. As usual, just a little bit of a quick summary. Just confirm your final selections for us then for Thursday.
Yeah, our first one at Exeter in the 1 o'clock was the Tom George trained Rocklander. Although he's got top weight to carry, he's going for a hat-trick here, this horse. Grounded trips, no problem. Won with top weight last time. And he comes here in the form of his life, and I think he can defy a mark of 1.27. 1.20 Newcastle. It was a trappy race, but in the end, I went for the Keith Dudley's train, War Dependent. He's got a lovely draw. He's drawn in the middle. He's a course winner, and he's been placed around Newcastle. He's shown a real liking for the surface. Up to a mark of 82, so he's got to improve again, but he is only 3, and the Keith Dalglish team are still in good order, and Joe Fanning is booked to take the ride. The 140 at Toaster, my selection here, was a horse who just really looks to have gotten the hang of his race, and now in Yanmir, I'm a little bit confused as to why connections have gone back for the tongue tie here, having previously disappointed in the past with the tongue tie on. But that said, he did have the application of the visor at the same time, so maybe it was the visor he didn't respond to, and so connections are happy to go back for the tongue strap tomorrow because he has gone back to back and won his last two outings. He's going to have to improve, I won't say he's jumping, but he's going to have to travel a bit better and lay up and not lose position like he did at Warwick. But that said, Toaster is a very stiff track, so if he does, he'd have a chance to get back into it. But he just looks like a horse who's really on the improve again, and yard are in good order, and he's got a lovely race and weight of 10 stone 1. And then our last selection was in the 6:25 at Chelmsford, the Richard Hannon trained Alcor. He's got a lovely draw in 2. A good performance last time where I thought he was value for a little bit more than the winning margin. The handicapper has put him up 3, so he's had his say, but I do think he's capable of progressing, this horse. And I do think if he acts on the Chelmsford surface as well as he did at Lingfield, he looks to me like a horse who's still going forward.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Paddy. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Thanks, mate.
That's the thoughts of Paddy Aswell then on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio, jumping from Exeter and Toaster, accompanied by All Weather Racing at Newcastle in the afternoon, and it's Chelmsford City throughout the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.